announced that I would occupy the stand at this time. There's been many things that's come into my mind, many things that's disturbed me as to the responsibility. Sometimes I feel like it's best for me not to know anything about that until the time comes. However, the Lord knows best. There's one scripture that I want to call to your attention at this time. In the 91st chapter of the Psalms of David, and at the first verse, David said on that occasion, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty." You know, the secret things belong to God, and the revealed things belong to man or to us, if we be the children of God. That has never been improved upon as long as the world stood. But if the Lord will enable me to do so, I want to firmly, positively, and without any doubt, assure to you at this time that this matter was all made secure for God's people before that they ever had an existence here in this world. belief it was that said, O Lord, I know that whatsoever thou hast done is done well. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. And the Lord doeth it that men should fear before him. If there was nothing could be taken from it, nothing that could be added to it, then certainly it was not only done well, but it is done perfectly. And it remains perfect today. Now he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall not maybe so, not hinged possibly upon the acts of the creature, but upon the sovereign, eternal purpose of God Almighty, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I don't know whether I'm one that dwells in that secret place of the Most High. I don't know that I'm one that's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. But there's somebody that David had in mind. It would be foolish to say, in the face of that language, that there was not someone that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High. Equally, it would be foolish to say that there's not somebody dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. Of late, there's been much said about it. The old Baptist church, that it was fast dwindling away, that there's but few of us that's left, and I chonder a few years hence, there'll be no more of us. I don't want to leave that impression on the minds of God's people while I'm here in their midst. I want to say to you, if the old Baptist church is the church that the Lord Jesus Christ established here in the earth, and positively and sovereignly, as God manifested in the flesh, said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We believe with all of our hearts. If we didn't believe that, brethren, we certainly wouldn't be identified with you. And if I may say so at this time, my identification with you was not on my choice. I did everything in the world that I knew to do not to be identified with you good people. That's shameful to say that. But when led, I trust, by the Holy Spirit of God Almighty to search after this peculiar people, they've stood all the way down the line. Brethren, there just wasn't nowhere else to go. To me, I don't know how it's been to you, but it's the only place there is for me. It's the only people that preaches a certain salvation and a positive assurance for our travels here in this world and the final deliverance of this people into heaven and immortal glory. I know, according to age, according to nature, that my day is on this earth are few, unless it be God's will that I should stay here much longer than is according to nature. Anything else other than security in the Lord Jesus Christ, anything else other than the salvation of God's people by grace and grace alone, has no comfort to me, none whatever. I've often thought, wondered in my mind, if my positive convictions relative to these great blessings of God Almighty is an offense to my brother. If it is, brother, you'd have a perfect right to call me down, and I'll not be offended at it. God was so concerned for this people that we're told that they were chosen in Christ Jesus unto salvation. But we're not told that they were chosen anywhere else or to any other salvation than that that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our head. He's our husband. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's our all and in all. I want nothing better than that. For the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Colossians that it pleased the Father that in him, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. Brethren, there's no grace paid for us anywhere else. There's no mercy that we are to be beneficiaries of here in this world if we're the children of God, other than what we were blessed with him, blessed within him, from before the foundation of the world. And you know the prophet told us that he'd leave in our midst a poor and afflicted people. I know from a natural sense of the word that I'm poor. And I hope from the spiritual sense of the word that And we believe that this language that we've addressed to you is not only applicable to David and to God's people in that age of the world, but it's applicable to God's people today, just as much so as it was in that day. It's given to us for instruction and for the comfort and consolation of those wayfaring people traveling here in this low ground of sin and sorrow. I want then to call your attention to the fact that God said in the early morning of time, talking to the first man Adam, that it was not good for man to dwell alone. That he caused a deep sleep to fall upon it, and he taken from his side a rib and made Eve for an help. You know, Adam was a beautiful type to us of the second man, Adam. Eve was created in Adam. And the people that dwelled in the secret place of the Most High and under the shadow of the Almighty created in Christ Jesus, the second man, before the foundation of the world. Do you know any better place that God could have created his people? The woman that was to live not just in this world with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm glad that that's our place if we be the children of God. And I want to emphasize the fact that this is the workmanship of God. And if what he done is well, then all this well with us. I don't care how much you may be disturbed in mind. I don't care what the conditions of the times in which we live may be that overshadows. We're in a place of safety. We're not only in a place of safety, but being under the shadow of the Almighty, the powers of heaven and the powers of earth. Let them be whatever they may be, will never take one of the little jewels of his choice from the security that God fixed him in before the foundation of the world, and he be destroyed eternally. We believe that it's just as essential that the second man, Adam, had a helpmeet as it was the first man, Adam. Now, don't misunderstand me. When I say has ever been of any assistance whatsoever in the saving of God's people. Neither do I believe that it ever will. I don't know what your convictions are. There may be different to that, but that's I trust from my heart. And I trust that under some of the shadows of the Almighty, it's been wrought in me by the sovereign power of God Almighty. Until for me there's just no hope unless I'm embraced in that covenant. You know, he said that he loved Jacob and he hated Esau. I believe that's recorded maybe in the 9th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. The children, being not yet born, neither having done anything good or anything evil. You know, we don't do anything before we're born, either good or evil. So he certainly never loved Jacob because he had done something good. Somebody said, no, but he saw that he would do something good. And by reason of that, he chose Jacob, or loved him. You know, all things are naked and open before the eyes with whom we have to do. God knew what Jacob would do just as well before that he loved him, or before that he made his love manifest as he did after. He's in one mind, and who can turn? So it is with Esau. To us as human beings, it seems astounding to know that he'd love one and hate another. Neither one of them hasn't done anything good or anything bad or evil. But he answered that question just a little bit further down. And what was his answer? His answer was that the purpose of God might stand according to election. You may not believe in election, but we do. And we're glad that we've been convinced that it's the truth. And there's all the evidence, scriptural evidence, laid down for us, seemingly that would be necessary to convince anyone. I had a Methodist brother to come in not too long ago, and the scriptural conversation was soon in progress. And the doctrine of election was mentioned. He said that he believed in election just as much as I did. But he believed that God voted for us, that Satan voted against us. And whichever way we vote seals the election. I said, my brother, before you today to affirm to you that it was God that purposed salvation for his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care how you vote when you go to vote. It's not going to change his will nor his purpose. It's not going to deprive him of one that his love was fixed upon before the foundation of the world. But I do believe that with all of my heart, you know, he told us, I believe, maybe that it's recorded in the 10th chapter of the Gospel, as recorded by St. John. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they do follow me." Not that maybe they will. Perchance, if someone advises and directs, but they shall follow me. If they follow him, brethren, they're not following after the things of this world. Again, he spoke of his people as David recorded in the 23rd Psalm, when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and they shall not want. He maketh me one of the elect family of God," one that was anointed to the kingship of Israel. "He maketh me individually to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the shadows of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's the comfort of God's people today. That's all that we have to lean upon. That's all that we have that's gone before and that's entered into that's within the veil, even where the forerunner has gone. So I want to say to you today that with all of the opposition that abounds in the world to the doctrine for which contend, and to the little church that's known as the Old Baptist Church, that they think is so soon to pass out of existence, and no doubt the quicker the better, so far as they're concerned. I want to say to you that it stands upon the same foundation that it ever stood. And the Apostle Paul said, "Other foundations can no man lay than that is laid." And he didn't stop there, but he told us what the foundation was, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. that's him who said that I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me. Of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. This is him who said, thine the word, and thou gavest them me. Brethren, they belong to him by the gift of the Father. They doubly belong to us by reason of the price that he paid, which was his own blood that he poured out upon Calvary's hill. This is him of whom the angel spoke to Joseph and said, fear not, Joseph, take unto thyself thy wife Mary, for that is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall, not maybe so, but she shall bring forth a son, whose name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. This is him that the prophet Isaiah spoke about when he said unto us, a son is given, and unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then he says, and the government of the people shall be upon his shoulders. I want to say, my dearly beloved people, that God laid help on one who was, who is, and who ever will be able secure and keep his people, the bride, the Lamb's wife, the elect lady, those that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High, those that are dwelling today under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm so much assured as to their security that I believe, I know, according to nature, I can't be there too long. Neither is I so with you. But Jesus said that this church shall stand forever. And we believe that he speaks, and it's
against him, against the church of the blessed Son of Almighty God, in her head and in her husband, or in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostle said, I believe you'll find recorded in the 15th chapter of his wonderful treatise of upon the resurrection, and in 1 Corinthians he said about it's by the grace of God that I am, not that I have been, but that I am at this time. And he said further that grace I was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I want to declare to you, brethren, that the grace of God that's been bestowed upon you is no more in vain than it was upon the apostle Paul. He said further, for I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Then further down and in the conclusion of the same chapter, I said, this thanks I do offer, and said, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to emphasize that the church are the elect family of God Almighty. I is not striving at this time to win a victory. I want to assure you, brethren, that there's been a victory won, and that victory was won by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a victory for everyone that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, everyone that's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, and it's a victory over death. It's a victory over hell. It's a victory over the grave. Therefore, I want as much as I may be unable to assure you that it doesn't matter where that we sojourn. It doesn't matter where that we may be when called from the walks of this life. It's one of the favors of God that's bestowed upon us. The apostle again said in the 9th chapter of his letter to the church at Hebrews, to the people of God, he said, and it is once appointed unto men to die, but after this the judgment, and then he said unto them that look for him, he shall appear again. I shall appear without sin
that I shed his blood for on Calvary's Hill. Unto them that the Father gave him, unto them that were abiding and are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And we know, brethren, that the shadow is an immense shadow. And for he said that his presence brings through the mouth of the prophet. His presence everywhere, and that I am no place I was he absent. Therefore, if you are one that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, if you are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, you may be in the maximum sense of the word, and as the word advocates and proclaims from time after time, you may be, yes, among those that they claim that the gospel has never been preached to. You may be upon the high seas. You may be below a degree, or by man, you may be exalted upon the pinions of his of the thrones and kingdoms of this earth. But I want to assure you that if you're looking for his appearance, that you're certain to behold him when he returns the second time without sin and unto salvation. This my dearly beloved people, we are persuaded that the old Baptists are that peculiar people, that people that are the offscourings of the world, that people that are despised and hated for his namesake are looking at this time, yes, through an eye of faith for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when that they'll be delivered in soul and in body, yes, to ever be with the Lord. We believe that in the doctrine of the resurrection, and we believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in it's in his coming and in this resurrection that I emphatically sets forth and evidences that he's God, and that he changes not, that he speaks and it's done. For you remember that he said, I am the fifth chapter of the gospel, as recorded by St. John. He said, the hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall come forth to life everlasting. This is that light that the brother spoke about yesterday, and our light is always yes, a revealment of power, whether it be natural or spiritual of power, that's under our consideration. So we look for the same Jesus as the apostle spoke of, some who had seen him go away, and assured us that in like manner he shall return. Brethren, it's just a positive, it's just a sovereign, it's just an eternal purpose of him that sit and I purpose, so shall I come to pass. And he never qualified that statement by designating anyone to help upon the prophet had said a long time ago that I looked and there was none to help. I wondered and there was none to uphold. Therefore, by that specific reason, mine own arm hath brought salvation unto you. Most certainly, he's promised, and he's absolutely and powerfully declared to this woman that I never forsake her or leave her alone, that I'll be with her. I am the sixth trouble, and in the seventh I would not forsake her. This is my hopes. I'm not too long ago I read a letter from one of the precious brethren that's identified with the old Baptist church. And in that letter he said that there was only about 150 of the old PB Baptist that was alive at this time, and out of that 150, there was possibly 100 that was old and feeble and incapacitated to the extent that they were not active in our church since. And I wondered in amusement as to just how long I would be before that they'd all be gone. But we find that he in times past added unto the church daily such as he would have added, not so added unto the church about he that himself, brethren, such as should be saved. Do you believe he added there one that can dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Do you believe he added one that was not dwelling under the shadows of the Almighty? And do you believe that in his ministration here in the world, that everyone that the Father had given him in covenant before the world was, is fully and completely made manifest in the world at that time? I don't know what I think about it, but I believe that there's still some of them here in the world. And I can say to you by reason of experience that in the places where that I regularly go, there's been evidence that he's still adding to the church of the true and the living God, for thanks be unto him. In the last 2 years, in one of the different churches where that I've tried to serve for between 25 and 30 years, there's been 5 young people that's come begging for a home that's had a desire to be immersed in the water and to live with these people because they had been convinced, although some of them had been identified with other so-called churches in this day and age of the time, but they acknowledged to the fact that the old Baptist had the truth, that the old Baptist only preached any doctrine that had any comfort in them, to them in what they preached here in the world. Now, brethren, I may be deceived about this matter. I don't know. God knows. I want to tell you, without a doubt, but I believe he's going to fill up this old church according to his own purpose and in the fullness of his own time. I'm going to shine again in the world. I don't understand that she's ever shined in any works of righteousness that she's ever done or that she ever will do. For the apostle said, you remember that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his own grace and his own purpose which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Then it's no wonder that he can tell us I am his letter to the church the second chapter for it's by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself, neither the grace nor the faith is of you, but for it's by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, that grace and that faith that I was treasured in Christ Jesus from the glory of the foundation of the world to be administered to the elect people of God in his own time and according to his own eternal purpose. So then I want to tell you that the church is just as safe today, even in these troublesome times as I've ever been. And God secured it. I am who I was made our stewardship a long time ago, and it will remain that way until the last trophy of God's grace has lived out the appointed time that he's allotted to him. I am this world and the great day of the resurrection come, and he calls him. I remember I said that the hour is coming when the dead, those that are in the grave, I shall hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth unto life everlasting. I want to tell you the prophet was so true when he said that in the word of the King there's power you and I might stand at the head of the graves of our loved one and call them to come forth for ages as far as that's concerned. But what we say has got no power in it. But when Jesus calls him that's sleeping in the grave to come forth, every one of his people will hear his voice, and with that voice will be such power that the graves will be opened, and the dead in Christ will shall rise first, and afterwards I want to assure you assure as you're born there's a time coming when that he shall sit on as the king upon the throne, and all nations shall be gathered before him, and he will separate them as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. the sheep you place on the right hand. And he said unto them, for I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And they, poor things, didn't know when that they'd done that. Why, many, many, no doubt, of God's people that served him are in righteous and in spiritual manner. Never realized it when they done it. Not one of this